Yeah, so that's why we're going to start recording from now. Okay, we're going to talk about, I'm going to talk about two things today. One is we're going to continue with the fasting and prayer and fasting.
We want to have the 40 days of prayer and rephrases. We want to have the 40 days and 40 nights prayer and fasting. When people say they fast for 40 days, at night they eat so much, and then the next day they fast. And they say we fast 40 days. So that's not really the way you want to go. 40 days and 40 nights. How this thing goes is this. You pick up the date you want to fast, right? This is how I feel the Holy Spirit saying to you. First, I want to have a calendar. So, okay, everybody pick a date, write down, make sure the date has a name. But I feel the Holy Spirit said no. Let the people pick up the date because He's going to prompt you which date to choose. So the best thing is to obey. So we're going to trust you to hear the Holy Spirit and say, okay, the moment you open your mouth, the Holy Spirit say no. So that's how we
feel like God wants to do. Okay, so 40 days, starting February 23rd, we're going to finish on Easter weekend. Now, every week we have a topic for every week. I'm going to explain this to you. And what we want you to do as a church, a corporate fast, it's not just for you to fast personal issues or personal situation. We want you from this time to focus on the church corporate fasting. Now, the scriptures say that one chase 1,000, two chase what? 10,000, right? Now, think about this. I really felt this time like the increase of everyone participate, the corporate prayer is going to be much more than 10,000. It's like 2010, it's like 20 times 10, 200,000 times. Remember, you can fast on your own, and you can really break stuff. But when you have 200 times more corporate prayer in what we're doing, how much things really break, right? Now, some of the things that you probably realize, the scriptures also talk about when the disciples, they wanted to cast out demons, they want to heal the sick, and something doesn't happen, and they turn to Jesus and say, why? We couldn't do it. And Jesus said, because this type only goes with prayer and fasting. Now, I want to explain something to you about this. Now, a lot of people talk about prayer and fasting and God see my sacrifice and all this kind of thing. But on the other side is this. In the spiritual realm, there's a lot of demonic spirit that is, you probably don't see it, but it is around us. We hold on to the stuff in us, and every time when I want to be careful how I say this, because if it's new to you, you're going to be shocked. Because if every time when you eat more than what you should, it's a demonic spirit, and it feed on that. You eat three times a day, but if you eat five times a day, that means there's a demonic influence to go and eat beyond and above. The Bible talks about gluten and everything, you know, right? And also eat what is God talk about, the healthy things. So that's why we're going to have Carol McIntosh. She's a qualified nutritionist. She's going to come here, and some of you has been to her clinic, this kind of thing. So she's very good at that. So she's going to talk about this. So we want to prepare you as well. Now, fasting has many different ways. People partial fast. People fast from eat meat. They only eat vegetables. Some people eat, you know, some people fast 100%, right? They don't eat nothing at all. Some people just drink water, this kind of thing. And what I want you to think about, try to do as much as you can. But most importantly, find the joy and the peace when you're fasting. This is the key. Let me explain something. When you do something good, you don't have to do it, right? Let's say you're going into the grocery store and you see this mom who's shopping for his kids, and the kids say, I want this and I want this. And mom say, no, I only have $5. I can only buy this, and that's it. I can't. And you're walking down the aisle, you have $20. And it's more because there are four people, you're one, you have 20, they have five. and something said to you, you know what, I'll give you that $10. You can buy this for your kids so you can have food for at least a couple of days. And it's still enough for you for $10, right? You still can, right? And when you do these things, suddenly there's a joy that came over you. How many know what I'm talking about? You just felt good, right? You just felt like, wow, that $10, I mean, to feel this way, I try everything. I try watching movies and try everything. I don't get that, feel that good. My spirit just rejoices in me. That's what I feel this kind of fasting God wants us to do. When we're fasting for something, there must be joy that comes from the Holy Spirit. It's not just like, I'm fighting this steak right now. No, it's just like, there's because you know there's something that's the abundance. Now, we have tried casting out people who have demonic spirit before. And I can tell you, after 3 weeks, nonstop, people take turn, stay with that person, praying and fasting, trying to cast out demonic spirit. Nothing happened. And finally, we come to the place where we say, why, Holy Spirit? And even with fasting and praying, one thing is because the person keep asking for water. And you know, you say, well, you don't think about it. You say, okay, well, yeah, we'll give you water. We're fasting, but you can drink water. And the Holy Spirit say, stop the water. Stop feeding that person the water. Next thing we know, when the person becomes thirsty, we say no water this time. In 24 hours, that person was set free. Because there's demonic stuff that of you feed them certain ways. And you will find when Carol's going to come here, she's going to talk about the water, that when you curse water, when you bless water, how it manifests different ways. So when the demonic spirit, they are thirsty, you know, I want you to have an open mind. When Jesus was thirsty, he was on the cross, how they feed him with vinegar and all this kind of thing. There's a different form of pressing the things of God. But a lot of demonic spirit, we are feed on what we eat. In the spiritual realm, they nutrition themselves. And if we are not careful, we're feeding that spirit. And I can tell you what, I don't have it with me, but there's different demonic spirit has discerned they are thirsty and hungry for different type of food. Like, for example, rage and anger, they have different type of food. Right? Impatient, jealousy, if they have, we feed on different things. So what are we going to do is we're going to corporately pray for the church. Yes, that's an amen, right? So we want you to be part of that, okay? So you choose the date, the week you want to fast. Let's say, for example, you say every Tuesday. Now there's 6 weeks, right, for 40 days. And every Tuesday, but this is what I encourage you to do. At least once a week to fast. And if you want to fast more than once a week, that's fine. If people want to fast 40 days, right, Uncle Dev? And even after 40 days, you want to go another 40 days? No, don't do that. That's good. No, anyway. So what I'm saying is like, but what I want, what I felt the Lord is saying as well, the last 3 days, if we all can fast the last 3 days together corporately. Do you know that Jesus fasts and pray 3 days, 3 nights before the resurrection? Do you know that? Of course, because he was 3 days and 3 nights in hell. After the cross, he wasn't eating anything. So for 3 days and 3 nights, he was fasting, praying, and this kind of thing. So that's how I felt. The Holy Spirit was saying, 3 days and three days before the Easter, the Resurrection Sunday, we're going to join hands together as a church and exactly what Jesus did before the resurrection. And I believe it's going to be great things going to take place. I'm going to give you things week by week. Can you put it on? Where's my list here? Have the list with you, Alex? Every week? All right. What? Okay, pala, inali. Okay, week one. You have it? No. Every week we're going to have a home open. The first week I'm going to open my home. So those who want to come for the first week and the last week, right? It's going to be both on the Saturday for 2 hours, 6 to 8 p.m., right? Let's see, we have it on. Any question as we wait for the PowerPoint to come? Any people have any question? No, right? Okay, right. Hopefully you see that. Okay, we want to enter this and the first week, February 23rd to 27, we put the title Christian Living. The Bible say, enter his gate with thanksgiving praise. So we want to start the first week with thanksgiving praise and worship, right? So we want to find this place. Now, thanksgiving praise and worship is literally also represent the tabernacle, the temple, the outer court, the inner court, and the holies of holies. But when we as believers, we have three dimensions, spirit, soul, and body, right? So as we fast and we pray, body, soul, spirit, the spirit is the inner holies of holies. The Bible said the kingdom of God is within you. It's inside of you, right? So this is why we want to pray, thanksgiving, praise, and worship. And the thing is to fast from every negative things that come through our mind. Everything that is negative, everything that is critical, everything that is not constructive, right? We want to fast from that as well, right? We want to be able to give thanks. The Bible, Philippians 4 say things about such thing, worthy, praiseworthy, holy and all this kind of thing. So we want to do this, all right? And think about this. What if the high priest was so negative and so moody and complained and he go with thanksgiving and by the time he hit the holies of holies, guess what? He died. He can't survive in the presence of God because God is a holy God. So we want to start this in the first week. All right. Second week, God's languages. How did God speak to people? Right. Love, mercy, grace, favor. Revival is a language of God when he moves things. His presence, his glory, peace, the peace that surpasses all. And all these things have scriptures. So you can write down the scripture. We're going to send it to you every week by email on the newsletter so you can also print it out and pray about these things. Sanctification, holiness, and the last one we say, my family for Jesus. That's going to be that week, the second week. Third one. Okay, this one is really deep intercession for Canada, for entire, for the government, for the leaders of the land. The leaders of this church, the leaders of the, elders and leaders of the church, school, teachers, church volunteers, and worship team. We want to put that as well. So everyone who has a leadership role, and if you know where you work, everyone has someone who's above, right? So we want to pray. Pray for the governor general, pray for the prime minister, pray for this thing, right? So we want to put this together. Now, one thing I want to say is, yesterday, those who were in the prayer meeting, when we pray for leaders, especially for our church leaders, for example, for us, there's Steve and Sandra Long, and then there's John and Carol Arnold, this kind of thing. So, but don't forget that there's more leaders than this couple, right? The Bible talk about in the throne room, in the centerpiece of the throne room of God, there's elders. There's leaders, there's apostles. So our prayer is that God, we want to know the vision or the knowledge, the wisdom that is in these elders. Why they are elders? Because they have something in them. That's why they are there in this place. We want their knowledge, we want their wisdom to be revealed now to the leaders of our church. You understand? That is crucial, that is important. The apostle, Paul, Peter, James, John, whatever they have received from the Lord, right? Now, God, we want what we have. We want Everything we know, everything that we learn, we want it to come on the leaders of this world. What Moses learned, what David learned as a government, Father, let the peace knowledge, how he knows these things, how he you choose him to lead the army, you choose him to build this nation, let it come on the government. We want to tap into this realm of understanding, of the realm of anointing, so that it will, the kingdom of heaven will become the kingdom of our Lord. You guys understand that, right? So we want to tap into this, okay? Next week, March, is the Word of God. I'm going to talk a little bit about that today. Revelation, vision, understanding, hearing God's voice. There's one thing that is not there. I think it's the word prophetic or prophecy. Unity, intimacy, maturity with the comfort and the leading of the Holy Spirit. That is the scriptures that the Holy Spirit gave me, that as we are led, everyone here find the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Not the comfort to fight back when something go wrong. Not the comfort to gossip when something come against you, but the comfort of the Holy Spirit. Let the Holy Spirit comfort us to mature in this area. This is very important for the church. How many know this? It's very important for every single one as well. Think about this. And God wants to raise us up. If you have someone who is a leader, let's say our prime minister, for example, and he don't have the comfort, the way he comfort himself is in the wrong way. Any leaders, they do the wrong thing. Something go wrong, hey, let's go to the bar, let's go and get drunk. That's wrong, because that's not the comfort that God wants him to have, right? So there's many different ways. So we're going to talk about that. Week is also for you to say, how do I comfort myself? How do I reward myself? How do I do things? Do my flesh go, wow? You know, so we need to learn about the comfort of the Holy Spirit. The Bible talk about this. Next week, following weeks, 2010, this year, the mission trip that we want to do for this year. Missionaries, we're going to give a list of people from missionary. There's Marnie Bloom, who's in Israel. And some of you know, we lost at the end of last year one of our missionaries. But we pray for example, Yongwa, I believe, is one of our local missionaries. We're going to put that. Even now that there's more people traveling a little bit around, like John and Calvin do more. They don't missionary work, but we do mission trips. So I want to pray about this. And so again, this is, go back here. Families and friends to come to Jesus. So we want to talk about salvation for that week. All right, next one. Physical healing, discerning of the spirit, strong breaking stronghold, having the mind and heart of God, financial breakthrough, jobs and better jobs. I think everybody want that, right? And becoming true worshipers, and the family of God united in one accord. And this is the last week. Again, we're going to have this 6 to 8 at my place. Now, Bob and Angie you already have picked 1 week. Jude has picked a week. So every week, let's say for example, you say, on that week, everything that is on this, I want to come to a corporate prayer. Remember, It's powerful when everybody's fasting and this kind of thing. So if you want to break mountain on your own, you cannot do that. But when the corporate prayer, everybody come together, we can move mountain, right? So I encourage you to find which week, which is, and find the place. Every week is a little bit, some of them choose a Monday or Tuesday, right? So find that. It's going to be on our newsletter as well and our bulletin. So, all right. That's for the, and I believe we have covered a lot here, right? Most everything that we need to cover is going to be on 40 days and fast. This year is not only that we start a new year. 2010 is not just a new year. 2010 is also a beginning of a decade, right? So it's interesting how to start this in a prayer fasting, it's like realignment. How many of you were at the pastors and the leaders conference? Yeah, three. It was amazing. Yes, and we know Tara was there a couple of hours, and your daughter was there whole day, right? And that conference is like, some of you were getting the same prophetic word, was the word alignment, right? And I don't know if you able to go on the website and check it out. It's there. Kristen Peterkins, Michael Peterkins, who from time to time he come and play here. She is an artist. She drew a picture. Now, in that picture was three horses. How many remember what I'm talking? Those who were there, three horses. The first horse is like the body like this and the head turned and just looking on the side. And then the second one a little bit more. And the third one is straight. Now, I was talking to her on Thursday, lunchtime. She finished it. She done the picture. And somebody already purchased it. She has eight people who want to buy it from her. And she only have one. So two ladies finally was competing. So she has to bring them together. And one has to let go, so the other ones can receive it. And then there was another conference. There was another girl. She did another picture. And a lady from Cyprus walked to her, literally say, I want this picture. No matter what, this is mine. Whatever she saw in this picture, she said, it's mine. And she said, this is okay, take this. She gave her a blank check with her signature. Put whatever amount you want to put on. But there's a limit of 10,000. Well, it's still good. Think about it. 2 days, not even 2 days, like two, you know, 3 hours, 4 hours, 7 days, 7 hours work for. So Christian was very happy and everything. So, but she said about the picture, she said, about the horse, she said, I don't know what the title is. Right. And somehow we were having this conversation. I thought, this is interesting because I think God is saying something through that. And an hour later, I met with another friend of mine. We went out to for lunch. And this is what he was saying to me. He said, referring to another somebody's preaching, and he would say, God has not designed us for our head to turn backward and look at the back. God has not designed us to do that. Now, saying this, we have seen demonic people, spirit, literally their head, literally able to turn. Click, 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 and look, I was sitting in a chair. There was this girl, her head was looking at me, but her body was facing forward. And you can hear the bone snap. Now, that's scary, right? But that's demonic. But God did not design us to do that, do this kind of thing. God do not design our feet to turn backwards so we can go forward. So as he was saying this to me, suddenly the Holy Spirit just said to me, that is what the picture is all about. And I'm getting more revelation of his time. And I want to talk about the horse is the first one that is turning his head. And then the second one, a little bit more aligned. And the last one was perfectly aligned. And God was saying to me, I'm aligning the church. There's an alignment coming. How many know that if you're going to run, and if you're going to look this way and run, you're going to get hurt. You're going to fall. You're going to bump into something. You understand what I'm saying? All right. Or maybe you did it without. Exactly. Now, the other thing he's saying to me is this. A horse, sometimes they look on the side and they go slowly. They trot, they trot, they trot. Sometimes, but the very best one is the one who trusts, the one who's riding him. Now, I don't know too much about horses. Maybe some of you, one or two, maybe know about more about horses. And I'm getting this revelation now. God is wanted to ride the church. He's the one who said, I will build a church and the gate of hell will not prevail. But churches are looking or even looking backward. We cannot go forward. He wants us to leave the things behind and go forward. What happened in 2009? God said, look forward. You don't go back. How many remember with the Tower of Babel? Turn around, turn into a pillar of salt. Right? And it happened yesterday. I was switched on the TV, and I was looking at this bullfight. It was in Portugal. Maybe you have seen it. It was just yesterday. And this guy on the horse with his big spear wait for the bull to charge, right? You probably know what I'm talking about. And the bull literally wanted to hit that horse. Now, one bump, he would be flying up in the air. But the horses don't even know the fear around. There's a bull charging. Only the one who's riding it. You understand what I'm saying? All the horses need to do, if the guy say, go left, he go left. Go straight, stop, he stop. Right? Run! Run! You better run, right? And there was a moment the bull almost hit the back, the butt of the horses a little bit. The horses feel like something right now. I don't know what it is, but something just, you know, slapped me in the butt, you know? And you see the horse kind of like, but the guy control it again. The faster the horses let go of the control, the faster it's better for him. And I was watching this, I said, this is so prophetic, so interesting. How God wants us to trust him to ride the church and just not be fear, not to look at the bull charging, and just able to trust him. And I feel this is, we are at this place right now. How many witness what I'm saying? Right? Now, because of that, I'm going to talk about the word. Because without the word of God, you don't know what to do. You don't know if you should go, stay, buy a house, sell the house, move to job, find job, where to go. So without God, what is word? What is word? A set of word make sentence is a creative things that if Al talk to me, he will speak words to me. And now it is my choice to listen and to understand and to comprehend what he want to explain to me. Right? Every time you say something, you are giving something. Every time when God speaks something, he's giving something to you. He's releasing something to us. But we hear it, we don't understand it many times. That's why we get slapped in the butt many times. And sometimes it's painful. Get a horn in the butt like the horse, that hurt. Right? And that's why a lot of us, we bleed and we die. And because we have not learned to tune and to really hear what God is saying. Right? Now, let me give you an example. The scriptures say that man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceed out of the mouth of God. You know that. God say, without the word of God, you will not survive. You will not survive. You will surely die. It's almost say to Adam and Eve, if you eat from that tree, you will surely die. But without the word of God, you will not survive. Man cannot live by bread alone. Some people say, what about pasta, pizza? No, it's still the same. You cannot leave. You need the word of God, right? Because listening to him, now, when Jesus, I want to travel with me here for a moment. When Jesus was baptized, you remember what happened? Heaven opened up. There's a voice, and people hear it around. What did it say? Come on. This is my beloved son in whom I'm well pleased, right? Now, this is a word that God released and gave to Jesus in the baptism. Now, when you read the word of God, there's different ways of reading the word of God. But when you're hearing the word of God, there's also different ways. You can hear the Rhema word, or you can hear the Logos word. When you read the word, You read the story, right? When Jesus was baptized and everything, that so you learn the story. But the Logos, that's when you know the story. The Rhema word is when this means significant. When the Lord speaks to you, say, this is, I am well pleased with you when you go to the water baptism. Let's say, sometimes the Lord says, I want you to go and baptize because when you'll be my son and I'll be well pleased. So this is Rhema. But that's from reading the Word of God. But about what about hearing the Word of God? Now, you probably haven't heard that before. You can hear the Logos or you hear the Rhema word. Now, when Jesus was baptized, he hear the Rhema. He understand what this mean. He got the revelation, I'm the Son of the living God and Father. The God is well pleased with me, and he understand that. Every time when you hear God speak to you, the next thing knocking at the door is the enemy. He wants to come and steal. The Bible said, when God sowed the seed, and if people do not understand it, the enemy will come and steal away what's been sown because they do not understand. Why? Because they hear the Logos, they don't hear the Rhema. Right? And the Bible says, John 10, that the enemy come to steal, kill, and destroy. When God gives you something, the enemy will come, kill, steal, and destroy. Think about this. This morning, you're going to have a revelation. As soon as you go somewhere, the enemy wants to kill, steal, and destroy. But if you understand how these things work, you will stop that. Right? Because every time when you let it go, you lost your destiny, you sell your purpose in life for, you know how Esau sell his destiny with a bowl of soup. He give it to his brother. I give you my birthright. He didn't understand what it means. How did God gave Adam and Eve authority? How did they lose it? They can lose it because the enemy come and tweak the word of God. Did God really say, don't eat from that tree? They hear the Logos, they don't hear the Rhema. And it took it away. Not only it's kill, steal, and destroy, they lost the dominion, the authority that God has given them. When you lost your authority, guess what happened? You end up in the wrong side where God wants you to be. You're not where God wants you to be. Many people want to have revelation knowledge. Revelation knowledge is like, okay, I go to church, I got so much, I learned so much. It's wonderful, great, hallelujah. And we are like a blueprint. It's designed. Like say, for example, hey, this is the blueprint. I got this revelation. I'm going to build this house. It's going to be, there's a garden, there's going to be a swimming pool. I'm going to design a three-car garage here. I'm going to design this. So you design this revelation knowledge, great, the garden and everything. I'm going to plant this here. And then what happened is, we're walking, go home. We took that architect blueprint from God and we just leave it on the shelf. And then we come back to church next week. We don't do anything about it. I want more revelation knowledge. I want more blueprint. Get more blueprint. I'm going to build a bridge now. Because if I have a house, I can't go there. I need a bridge because there's a lake, there's a river. So now it's not more and more and more. By the time, years after years, they carry so many blueprints, but nothing literally has been transformed into reality. Think about this. Jesus walked into the temple. He opened the scroll. You remember that? In the synagogue, and he said this. Read from the book of Isaiah. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He has he has anointed me. And then he said five different things. Because of that anointing, because I'm preaching the good news to the poor. Proclaim liberty to those who are captive. He named five things. That's the reason for the anointing. I have another message that I talk. The five reasons for the anointing is one of the five things that Jesus mentioned. If we don't do any one of them and ask for the anointing, we're going to steal God's anointing. We're going to give it to the enemy. Don't ask God for the anointing if you don't want to preach the gospel. Don't ask God for the anointing if you don't want to help the poor. Don't ask God if you want to set the captive free. Otherwise, what are you going to do with the anointing? And after he finished reading this, he said, today, these scriptures have come to pass before your very eyes. I fulfill that. It's not just a blueprint anymore. It's not just a prophecy. It have come real today. How many of us want to see all the prophetic word and all the things that God has given to you come to pass? That's why I want to talk to you today, right? Now, my most important ministry is not to correct people, but to bless people. Actually, no one should have that in the body of Christ. Even Jesus, he don't go and change people. I cannot change myself. Only God can change me. Why am I going around change people? If God wanted to change people, he would have zapped Judas a long time ago. Think about this. The very thing that church tried to do is to go and change people. When Peter, Jesus said, do you love me? Yes, yes, three times. Now go and feed my sheep. Stop fishing. That's not what I want you to do. I want you to go make disciples, baptizing them. And then he turned around and said, well, what about this one? Very first thing, they want to change somebody else. Wrong. John the Baptist, in the most amazing, powerful man, Jesus loved him so much, he wanted to change the king. You're doing something wrong. You're sleeping with your brother's wife and all. Wrong. Next thing, his head cut off. He don't even know who Jesus is. And he said, ask him, are you the Messiah? Are you the one? He's so confused. One time he was so knowledge, so much knowing in walking in know who Jesus baptizing him. The next thing is, he lost his mind completely. Church, we're not here to change people. God will. We are here to be a blessing to one another. Every time people go around wanting to change people, you stop. You know what? Husband, stop change your wife. Won't work. Be a blessing. That's what will work. Can I have some men say amen or support me here? Or maybe wives say amen. Give me a shout here. Right? When we find out exactly what God called us to do, when we do it. Jesus said, I don't do anything unless I hear from the Father. You know, this is great. But what if we hear from the enemy? It's worse. Now, that same experience. This is my son in whom I'm well pleased. Now, a couple of years later, months later, one day Jesus walking in the north of Israel in a place called Banyas. And there was a lot of idol sacrifice. And when he turned around, he asked his disciples to say, who do you say am I? Right? Remember that? Some say you're the Baptist. Some say you're the prophet. Some say you're Elijah coming back again. And then Peter, you remember what he said? What did he say? You are the Son of the living God. And you remember the story that Jesus was so excited. The Bible says he jumped, he leaped. He's an exciting guy. He's not just moody. You know, he's not like the Pope walking around in holy water. No, he's exciting. He's probably just like jumping and screaming all his strength. And then, yeah, God, the Father, you're so wonderful. You reveal this. You know, you keep it from the wise. You reveal this to the little one. Now, what did Peter receive? A revelation. What was the revelation? You are the Son of the living God. What was the blessing that Jesus received? This is my Son in whom I'm well pleased. Is that the same thing? Yes. Guess what? A few hours later, Jesus said, I have to go to Jerusalem. Guess what Peter said? Don't go. Because they won't kill you. Did he really, he got a revelation, but did he understand the revelation? No. Because if he knew who Jesus is, he would not, I mean, come on. He would not say that thing. Right? So many times we hear revelation. We don't understand. Al can speak some words to me. Oh yeah, wonderful, great. Walk through the door, turn around. What did he say to me? Okay, forget it. Let's move on. Many times God speaks to us and we don't understand. Now, what happened? That's why we need to intercede. That's why intercession comes forth. When God reveals things to you, don't let it go, because when you let it go, the enemy will come and steal. If he cannot steal, he will sow weeds. He will choke the word of God and you will not have any benefit. You know how many things has been sown in this church? So many precious, precious things that you have here from this pulpit that will, if you take all of this, it will literally change your life so far. Now, but think about this. What did Jesus say to Peter? When Peter said, don't go to Jerusalem, what did he say? Satan, get behind. You know what he say? Where the bull is going to hit, get there. You're going to be bumped. No, he said, literally, and now I want you to think about the two things. Now, think about these two things here. You're going to get something. I'm guarantee you're going to learn something here. Right? What happened after the water baptism? The Bible says that Jesus was led by the Spirit to go in the mountain, to go in the desert, to be tempted. Tempted. Holy Spirit lead you to be tempted. How? Why? By who? Who was tempting Jesus? Satan. Who was trying to with Peter? Jesus say, get behind. Right? This is where your position is. You know what is between the legs of the horses? That's where you should be. Right? We talk about that. You remember where we talk about this? Anyway, some of you forget about it. You were laughing at it. So, okay. Right? So, same scenario, same thing. But Jesus understand. He understand this and he know how to keep that, not losing it. He know there's going to be a warfare going to come. A fight's going to come. And how I'm going to fight this, that is going to also give me the right to own my destiny and my purpose. Peter did not understand. The moment Satan stepped into place, he lost his destiny. He don't even know. Next thing, he went and cut the soldier's ears. When we don't understand, we do things we don't understand. And Jesus rebuked him. How many times we want to cut somebody's ears? But his ear first was cut off. He couldn't understand. He hear the Logos, he don't understand the Rhema. He don't understand who Jesus is. Every time when God speaks something to you, reveals something to you, expect, not ungodly belief, what I'm saying, it's a reality of the spiritual realm. Because when you pass that, it's going to prove that you earn the rights. What did Adam and Eve, what happened? Why was God just come and say, hey, serpent, get out of here? He didn't do it. God gave us that authority to defeat the enemy. Revelation is the power of the anointing of God's word for you to defeat so that you will move on. It's happened all the time. You want revelation? You want God to speak to you? Yes. Now, it's not going just to stop there. The enemy is going to call, hello, I'm the next visitors. Right? And Peter did not understand that. Now, I don't want to blame things because God knows these things. You have lost so many revelation that the enemy has come, still destroyed, take your dominion, take your power, take your authority. And because of that, you have suffered without even realizing why. Why I lost my job? Why I lost my marriage? Why I lost this? Why this is happening? Why is my business not flourishing? Why? Because enemies come and steal. God wants to bless and prosper, but we have not understand it. Right? Now, are we good? This is good? Right. When the enemy come, how did Jesus fight Satan during the temptation? This is going to be the most important thing you guys need to know. Revelation, yes, but how did he? By the word. Now, how did Satan come and tempt Jesus? By the scriptures too. That's why the Bible says, we rightly divide the word. You say, well, if you're the Son of God, jump, and the angel's going to catch you. And at the end, you know what? Do you know what Jesus said to Satan so that when he left? He said his word. He said, you shall worship the Lord your God only. You know what he's saying? What was you telling me my destiny? You want to steal my destiny? You want to steal my purpose? I'm telling you who you are and what way have you failed. You used to be worshiped in heaven. You used to be a vat, but now you're not. And that's what Jesus touched. You should be worshiping the only God you have, but you didn't. That thing make the enemy run. The Bible say, resist the enemy. Submit to God, resist the enemy, and he shall flee from you. Right? What if Peter has learned this? Instead of saying, Jesus, don't go to Jerusalem, he say, no. Jesus have to go to Jerusalem. Persecution has its form of blessing. When you people come against you, say negative, evil things against you. John chapter 5, after the Beatitude, what did Jesus say? When people bless you, persecute you, it's rejoice because great is your reward in heaven. How many rejoice when people persecute you? You don't. But God said, rejoice because that persecution is a blessing in disguise. But our flesh said, no, I don't want that. But there's reward. Okay. How you win the battle is when you tell the enemy who he is and who you are. Because he wants to steal your destiny. You stand strong. Now, sometimes it comes through many ways. It can come through the best friend around you. It can come through your spouse. It can come even through leaders around you. Sometimes they don't know. I've been persecuted by many times by church leaders. They didn't even know. But you know what? I stand strong because I know what God said and I'm pressing and pressing. Sometimes even you feel lonely. Jesus was lonely. But when you do that, you are increasing in the kingdom of God. Don't be defeated. Don't just walk away and give up. Right? Don't give up. God has a lot more. When we listen to the word of God, when God speaks to us, spend time. Say, God, the Rhema, what did it say? Dwell in it. You become the intercessor. When you understand, when you hear God's word, or when you pray for answers, you intercede. When you receive the answer, you become the prophet. Now, this is how things work. You start to speak now the things of God. What God say, who you are, you start to speak. You become the prophetic voice of your own destiny, own life. Nobody's going to do that for you. You can receive I can release prophetic word, but you are the only premium, ultimate person who will do the fight, the good fight of faith. You were the one. Well, now when you proclaim this, like Jesus read the book of Isaiah, declare this, prophesy this upon himself. This now has been fulfilled. Now you become the apostle of your own destiny. You're walking in the will, perfect will of God. Everything what God said to you, you believe it. You like this horse, trusting God in its word, right? Not be fearful. God will make your path straight. You got this? Now, I haven't even touched the word of God. No, I'm just kidding. Right, I'm excited about revelation knowledge. I'm excited about this. We need to learn to hold on. If you felt something is terrible when you got revelation knowledge, don't just spread your revelation knowledge to anyone. who do not understand and hear what God is saying. If they listen to you, it just fell off. It just go down the drain, and when you lost, don't throw your pearls to the pigs. That's what the Bible says. Right? All right, let's stand. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you for this word this morning, God. I just put a hand on your heart for a moment. Some of you have questions, and I believe some of you right now, you have questions. You say, God, I do have confusion. I was confused at one time, but now it's okay, but confusion is not from God. Some of you think about, God, what is my life? I thought like I'm just a regular person like everybody else. There's billions of people out there. You know, what the difference between me and my life? I felt God saying every one of us, God has a unique destiny on its own. And God wants to fulfill that destiny. He just don't want you to just have a blueprint and go home. You don't want your destiny to be on a piece of paper. He wants your destiny to be fulfilled more than anything else. He wants you to see the glory of God, the kingdom of God on earth in your life. He wants to raise you up higher than where you've never been before. Some of you have questions about, but God says, if you listen to me, if you heed to my word and dwell in me, have I not said in my word that those who meditate on me day and night, you shall prosper. Even as your soul prosper, you will prosper. It is in my word. It is my guarantee. If you meditate on my word, understand it, hold on to it. Father, we want to give you thanks, God. There's so many things you want to reveal. The end book of Mark said that Jesus did so many things that even this whole world, that there's be so many books that can be written that this whole world cannot contain. He wants to say so much to each one of you. I bless you this morning to recognize, to understand, and to visualize the Word of God become alive. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word now dwell among us. It became flesh. You are now the body of Christ. You are going to be the manifestation of that Word of God alive today. God wants to increase more. God wants to send angels to you. He wants you to be able to, as Isaiah prophesied, all the fivefold ministry, heal the sick, help preach the good news to the poor. He wants you to do all everything because He wants you to be anointed people for a purpose, for the right purpose and the right destiny. I speak peace over every trouble bridges in your life. Let peace come. Let the peace of God come. Father, I bless every word that we have received this morning. Father, we seal that word in the blood of Jesus. And even that increase more, speak in more louder than my own voice, Father. Let the Holy Spirit come and speak louder, even after we leave this place. Father, there's a unity of understanding. Let the family hear God together in unity. Let this church listen to your voice and come in perfect unity. And Father, we don't want to look back. We want to look forward because you want us to go forward in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. If that word is strong right now, I just see if there's a glory cloud in this place right now. It's just around here. I just feel like if it's something in you that you say, God, I want more because I want a breakthrough right now. I understand this. And we just want to encourage you just to come forward. We just want to pray for you as well. We don't want just to leave this way. If you know there's something more, but we will pray for you right now. If you've been walking away from the Lord as well, just I want to come back right now because nothing else in this world. I try everything, and there's no peace. There's nothing that can give me satisfaction right now. God wants you to come back home. In His presence, there's fullness of joy, there's peace. Surpass understanding right now. I encourage you to come. All right. For those of you who are okay, you know, just bless you to go and have a good time, have a good Sunday, enjoy time with the family, these kind of things. So, yeah. Hallelujah.